You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Bible's the book of Daniel today. If you're here without a Bible, maybe can you look with your neighbor there and follow along, Daniel chapter 9. Today we begin the series we entitled Prayers in the Bible, and there's many prayers in the Bible. And God can do through prayer what man cannot do. I want to try to convince us of that through the Word of God in these weeks to follow. Next Sunday, I'll be here, but our camp speaker will be flying in from the south, and he'll be preaching here morning and night, and then we're back on it the remainder of the year. And so prayers in the Bible. I'd like you to read chapter 9, verses 3 through 11, but for the sake of time, we'll read together verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. Daniel's page 913 in my Bible. Follows Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. You'll see it right there. It's sometimes they hide themselves, don't they? I always get worried about that if I'm up here and a preacher says, turn to the book of Joel. Well, I know where Joel is, but sometimes Joel hides. And a little trick I learned, that if you can't find it, just act like you have it there. You say, well, that's deception in church. Yeah, but it's better than looking like a fool, especially if you're the pastor. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 through 6. Let's read together. Let's pause at the commas and the semicolons, periods. Ready? Begin. And I set my face unto the Lord. See verse 19, if you'll turn there, please. Thank you for reading. Verse 18, let's back it up to 17. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant. So now Daniel, verse 17, begins to actually start praying and fervently, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee, our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Here's our prayer. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy sake. O Lord, O my God, for thy city and for thy people are called by thy name. I have a great responsibility to pray for you. That's my job. You have hired me to pray. I'm to give myself, Acts 6:4, to prayer and to the Word of God. I don't do much of it anymore. Because we deal with people's situations all day long. I don't know a preacher that's called me in the last year that's not said, I wish I could just pastor my church. But I'm calling the police, and I'm calling Child Protective Services, and I'm dealing with this problem, this power, and this man walked out on his wife, and this woman walked out on her husband, and this guy got arrested for drugs, and it just seems like, in this day we live in, I know Hollywood's that way. And I know the professional sports are that way, and I know politics, but can't we at least, God's people, get right with God? I hardly know a preacher that hasn't thought about resigning in the last year. And we've had many resign just to get out of the mess, not with sin in their life, they're just out. Our nation right now is on the verge of total collapse. We heard it here, we read it. We didn't listen to the servants. I'm not much of a man of God, quite frankly. But I try. And I read my Bible and I pray. But can't we listen? Can't we just get with this thing? Our kids are going to wind up in a garbage heap of junk if we don't get this thing turned around. And we're not going to do it with the politics and with the streets and marching. We're only going to do it through prayer. The most important ministry a father has is a prayer ministry for his family. The most important ministry a grandmother or grandfather has for his children and grandchildren is prayer ministry. The most important ministry of a mother is prayer. The most important ministry of a pastor is prayer. Sunday school teacher, prayer. I'm not discounting studying the Bible. I'm not discounting going to visit people. I'm saying we do not turn to God. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But we're not doing it. Quite case in point, any church in America, you check it out when their prayer meetings meet and whatever rooms they meet in, they're about empty. The smallest ministry a church has today is prayer meetings. Missions prayer meeting, church prayer meeting, Saturday night men's prayer meeting, different types of prayer meetings we have. The smallest ministry we have is prayer. And this is the greatest church in America. We have been blessed with both properties, two beautiful, beautiful gymnasiums. I could fill both gymnasiums at the same time with play. And I'm for it. I'm for the basketball teams and our basketball leagues. And I'm for the volleyball leagues and I'm for all that. But we can fill both gyms at the same time and all the bleachers with people to come to play. But every church would have a hard time to get a handful of people to pray. Sometimes a couple of elderly little ladies will be in some churches and two or three little elderly ladies will pray together. That's the prayer meeting. We can fill our buildings with banquets and events. But what about prayer? I discovered something in this book of Daniel. There's little letters in the alphabet that we use as words. Sometimes you use the word A. I saw a dog chase a cat. Sometimes we use the letter I as a word of I love my wife, I love my church, I love America. But there's another little word in our 26 letters of the alphabet that is a word that means many things. It means overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. It means grief beyond, grief beyond the imagination. It means blessings above all blessings. Do you know what that little word is, that little letter is? It's the word oh. Oh, I get it. Oh, that's a beautiful dress, you say to your wife. Oh, that was a beautiful solo you sang. Oh, wasn't the choir? Oh, no. Oh, no. Are they okay? What hospital did you go to? Oh, no. Oh, no. That word, that little word, that little letter, O, can be a negative word, it can be a positive word. I counted it. There are 45 little O's in the book of Daniel, in these few chapters. O, O, O. I wanted to take you back, but if you'll trust me on it, from chapters 1 through 8, it's all about O King. O King, O King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, 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 it's all about O King, an earthly king. He's talking to these various kings that were in authority. O King, please hear me. O king, I'll beseech the sword. O king, you might want to go, I marked them all in my Bible. You might want to go find those 45 chapters 1 through 8. O king, O king, O king, down here. Chapter 9 is no more O king down here. It's O king up here. And in chapter 9, there's 12 times that you have a man by the name of Daniel, his prayer, calling out to God. Well, this Sunday morning, as I speak to the world's greatest church, I'm pleading with you. We're going to have a ministry of intercessory prayer to the throne of grace on the behalf of this nation, on behalf of this world, on behalf of the cause of Christ. There's a world that's going to hell. There's a world that's 200,000 Sodomites walked and marched in the streets of Jerusalem where our Savior walked this week. That grieves me for them. Good night, I wouldn't want any evil to happen to any Sodomite. I would not want any danger to happen to them. But something has happened in their life to wound them to such a matter that they will change what God, Romans chapter 1, how God designed mankind and womankind. They'll change what God, everything's about shaking our fist at God. We're in charge of the weather, God. No. The psalmist in Job says that the hail, the snow, the rain, the wind, the fire comes from the hand of God. It doesn't come from man. If man is so powerful, then send snow today. This thing of changing masculinity and femininity. I told my class this morning, Isaiah chapter 3, I was reading my Bible reading this morning, where in these last days, not only will children rule over the family, but a woman's going to rule over a man. That's Bible, and yet it's contrary to the Word of God. See how that went over real big? I came here in the 70s and preached that. There'd be a resounding amen, but we don't believe it anymore. We've diminished manhood. We've diminished the sacredness of a feminine lady. I'm not talking about a woman's weaker than a man. Anybody with a half a brain would know generally that a woman's smarter than a man. She's working out of both sides of her brain, where a man is one side in his brain. Study how we're put together. So a man can do one thing, and that's about it. I can do this. But a woman can do everything at the same time. No, I'm not saying that women are not capable. They can do anything. It's just not God's divine order. God has a way. And we're so far away from God. My generation has dumped off on this next generation a bunch of junk. My generation brought us the hippie movement. My generation says we're going to do what we want to do. We'll live by whatever laws we want. We'll live how we want. I can remember I was working in the grocery store in the 60s. And Lyndon Baines Johnson, our president, said, I am going to end the food problem in America. And I'm going to start this new program. And we're going to give food to the hungry and food. And I was at a checkout stand. And I was checking groceries out. And they came and they brought these little coupons. He started what we have now, the welfare program. And LBJ promised us in 10 years, there will be no one in America, no one that is hungry. There'll be nobody that cannot pay for the groceries. It'll all be over. It will only take 10 years. Man will not work, he should not eat. We just disobeyed the Bible. As we get to this book of Daniel with this single letter, oh, oh, my sorrow, oh, my hurt, oh, my overwhelming spirit, oh, my joy, oh, my happiness. We come to, by way of introduction, chapter 9, verse number 4, I prayed unto the Lord, my God. I made my confession. Those are two things. Confession and prayer is not the same thing. Prayer is begging. It's ateo is a Greek word. It's to beg, to ask, to desire. And I made my prayer and confession two different things. and you don't confess to me, and I don't confess to you. Though I know in the Scripture in the New Testament, we confess our faults, James, one to one another. In other words, we're going to get right with one another if we're going to have revival. And yet he said, I made my prayer, my confession. I said, oh Lord, the great and dreadful God keeping covenant. Verse 5, we have sinned. There's an acknowledgement. We have sinned. We can get to the social media and figure out how everybody else has sinned. But why don't we forget about judging everyone else and get in our own life and say, I have sinned against thee, Psalm 51, and thee only have I sinned and done this iniquity in mine heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, Psalm 51, for I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before me. My sin is ever before me. It's not always before the internet. What in the world are you doing, wasting your time broadcasting everyone else's sin? I'll tell you why you do that. You're trying to cover your own. You know all the garbage and dirt on everybody else because you have so much hidden garbage that you're going to attack someone else. That's what David did. And Nathan came to say, hey, you want to see this guy's taking life taken? Thou art the man. You're the one's got yourself in trouble. You've just hidden it. He acknowledged that we have sinned, but we have acknowledged here, he says, that the Lord is righteous. Verse 7, oh Lord, there it is again. Righteousness belongeth unto thee. He acknowledges there's some consequences. Oh Lord, verse 8, there it is again. Oh Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, and to our kings, and to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned. What's he saying? Our president, our senators, our congressmen, our mayors, our leaders, our fathers, our daddies, because we've sinned, oh Lord, because we sinned, we're in confusion. We are confused. We're mixed up in the head. America is mixed up in the head. The church is mixed up in the head. Confusion. Depression has set in. God's people, and I don't know if you got a hold of that, but 2 weeks ago, I've never spoke on depression in my ministry, but I did 2 weeks ago. And followed up similar with another subject last week, the same. It's just, there's a wave. I hear it in America. I preach. I see it in singing. We're going through the motions. Friend, when we're living for God and we're on the victory side, there's an energy, there's a thrill, there's an excitement. I sing because I'm happy. We can sing those words. I sing because I'm happy. That didn't convince anybody, because we're not. And the Bible said the whole head, oh Lord, our head's full of confusion. Follow with me, please, as we continue. There's consequences to that. Verse number 15, and now, oh Lord, our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Here's what you did in the past, and hath gotten renowned as at this day. We have sinned. God, you did this in the past, but here's the condition where we are today. We sinned. Verse number 10. Oh Lord, there it is again. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem. We are living in grace. One day, and I don't know when, child of God, we're going to cross this line where God says, enough. Judgment's coming. They scoffed at Ezekiel. They scoffed at Jeremiah. They scoffed at Daniel. They scoffed at the prophets of yesteryear. And Hosea cried out. He said, oh, sinful people. Isaiah said, oh, sinful people, a people laden with sin. The whole head, he said, Isaiah 1, is sick. From the head to the sole of the foot, your whole body is sick with sin. And we're getting away with it. But God says consequences are coming. Notice what the Bible says. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication. Verse 8 again, 18. Oh, my God, incline thine ear. God, please listen. And then the prayer. Will you read verse 19 with me? Will you please read it with me? Ready? Begin. Oh, Lord, hear, oh, Lord. Forgive, oh, Lord. Hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. Oh, my God. I want you to know today that it's not just God's people, it's God's men. I'm responsible too. I'm not preaching to you or at you, I'm preaching to us. From the pulpit to the pew, from the pastor to the people. I will never forget 9/11. I'll never forget that September morning when we were attacked here in America. When over 450 firefighters perished trying to help others. What an amazing number. They went in knowing they'd probably not come out. Thank God for the police and the fire. People criticize those first responders. Well, when you need them, you're not going to be criticizing. And I'll never forget, we were in a pastor's conference. My dear friend, Dr. Bobby Robertson, was on his way here, and had he lived, today would have been his birthday. Dr. Robertson was grounded in Arkansas. All planes were grounded for those next 3 days here. No planes over the church. It was eerie. It was quiet. I didn't know what to do for the service that night. We had services that morning with the pastors. And I went to my office all afternoon. I did not eat lunch. People took care of our guests that were here from around the country and world. And I'll never forget getting on my knees, and my first prayer was, God, America's so wicked. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I fell on my knees and said, oh God, I feel so responsible. I feel like this whole situation is because of men like me and men of God. Lord, we've been careless. I never blamed the people of God. And I didn't blame the other preachers. I looked at me and I spent that whole entire afternoon in prayer. And I'd be on my knees and then I'd get up and then I'd walk around the office and get on my knees and, oh God, help me. I'll never forget that night because I didn't know what to do. I preached at that conference and we have this CD, I won't play it now, play it on the radio once in a while, those preachers coming up to the choir singing God Bless America. You heard God's people shouting and screaming, amen! I want you to feel like I felt and have felt ever since. I'm responsible. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. Daniel loved his homeland. He loved his people. He loved his God. It's all in this text. And he began to plead to God on their behalf. I'm asking you all this morning, can you plead to God for your children? For your wife that's under attack from the devil? Because be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Would you please pray for your husband that's under attack? Would you please pray for your grandchildren? Will you please pray for your kids' Sunday school teacher and their bus worker? Would you please pray for their school teachers? Could you do what's why I do in these public schools? I go and nowadays you can't park your cars there very long and they're going to be suspicious. You know, a guy is casing it, but I'll just pull up these public schools and pray, oh God, sometimes before school starts, oh God, children, they're not our kids. We have our kids in our own school over here at the other property. But they're my neighborhood kids. I pray, God, give them safety in this place today. Please protect them. Please cause them to come to thee. Yesterday afternoon, I walked out, and we have so many buried in different cemeteries around here. These 40-something years I've been here, and I was over in the one in Santa Clara. I'd like to go there to pray, and I stopped by the grave markers of your kids and your grandkids and your mates. And I just prayed. And it's easy for me to become judgmental about myself. Almost everyone, Lord, I wish I would have been a better pastor. And I just go out there and just start praying, and then I'll pray for their families. I have a job to pray for the people of God. John Knox, the old preacher of so many decades, generations ago, they said, why can't you sleep, John Knox? He said, because my heart is broken over my nation. I understand when Hebrews tells us that we'll get to heaven, God's going to give us rest. We'll rest from our labors. It's not resting time. This is work time. And I know because I've dug. I remember digging an entire pool out by hand. 25 feet by 25 feet by 25 feet all the way around that thing. 4 feet deep. I know that's not deep. And hauling it out by wheelbarrows and dumping it off on another property. That was a lot of work. When I was a teenager. But I'll tell you what. That's nothing compared to what work and prayer is. Work is hard. Prayer is hard. We have the story of Hudson Taylor. He went to China so long ago. When you could get into China, we have missionaries now there, but it's a different situation. And Hudson Taylor was just amazed at how easy it was to receive fruit. People were getting saved and people were getting right with God and people were listening to the word of God. He said it just was just overwhelming with China Inland Mission at that time. I said, I just couldn't comprehend it. Why? It was such fertile soil. Why things happened so easily? And he went back to England to give a report. They said when he got to England, he reported, he said, I have no idea why, but it's just you speak or you preach and the scores of people come to Christ. It's so open to the gospel. He met a man while I was there. The man was a roommate in a Bible college with another man. He never felt called of God to preach. He stayed home, but his roommate went to China. Prior to Hudson Taylor going there, and that man began to tell him how that he has spent his life from Bible college thereafter for all these decades. And he'd get information about what his roommate friend was doing in China. And it was hard and nothing was happening. And that man said, my ministry is going to be a ministry to pray for China. And he prayed for the opening of the gospel to China for decades and decades and decades. And he prayed for people by name and he knew people. And Hudson Taylor said, after meeting the man, I now know why God made it so easy. Because someone plowed the field through prayer. Oh, God, forgive us of our sins. Oh God, we acknowledge our transgressions. Oh God, we are wrong. Thou art wicked. Oh God, our head is full of confusion. And he uses that little oh to pour his heart out before God. This happened, the best I can tell, about maybe 80 years ago in Selmer, Tennessee. They were having the old revivals like they used to have out in the fields almost 100 years ago. And a preacher would come, and they would never say it's 7 days or 8 days. You just had a revival weeks and weeks until you had a revival. And the preacher came. It was a very difficult time in that region of Tennessee. It hadn't rained for weeks and weeks and weeks, and the creeks had now dried up. The fields, they are losing the corn, they are losing the crops. It was dusty. It was terrible. The people were so overwhelmed with sorrow. They were trying to scrape out a living, had no water. The preacher preached, but nothing happened. He said, I knew what it was. I knew that their minds, and it was rightfully so, was so occupied with the condition of what they were facing. No water, their crops ruined, their food, thinking about the future. What are they going to do? And the preacher had an old man in the church. The old man, an old grandfather, said, we'll never have revival, preacher, until we have rain. And I'll be down here early in the morning having prayer for rain till it comes. They were predicting that rain was not even in the forecast, and you probably know where this is going. The old man was walking down those dusty little roads that day, and he had his boots and his raincoat and an umbrella. He passed by the spinners and the whittlers that were in the little country store out front. They were spitting and whittling is what they were doing. Hey, Grandpa, you're dressed up like rain. There's no rain in sight. And he scoffed him. He never said a word, kept walking to the little church house. Not long after, here she comes, his great, great granddaughter. She had what they called her galoshes on, her boots and her raincoat and umbrella. Hey, little honey, the spitters and the whittlers were saying, hey, little honey, your old grandpa, your great-great-granddaddy, he's a nut. There's no rain and there's no rain coming. And she turned and said, you watch. Grandpa's praying. He went into that little church house that morning and began to pray. And he said, after praying a while, we won't have rain until we get right with one another. And we're going to have to confess to one another where we're wrong toward one another. And all of a sudden it began to break out. People were getting right with one another. One old grandpa went and buried his head in the corner of the room and began to pray. This old grandpa I was talking about began to pray and beg God as people were getting right with God and praying. And they prayed in the morning hours early in the afternoon. And they prayed to 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And at noon, nothing was yet coming. And at noon, all of a sudden, it got dark out. Someone looked, a big old black cloud. And all of a sudden the wind picked up. And all of a sudden the storm came, and literally a deluge came, and the rain started coming down. Grandpa needed those boots and raincoat and umbrella. He said, I don't see that in this day. It's because of men like me. It's our fault. We haven't positioned our people into the fact of believing that God can. But I tell you, God can do anything. Anything. We used to sing that in Sunday school as we stand together, please. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything, but he cannot fail, for he is God. I know I sound like a prophet at noon, but if we don't turn this thing around, and we have the ability, how? Through prayer. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. 12 times in one chapter. No longer, O King, O King. It's, O God, O God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.